Those words of Jesus go straight to the heart and take us straight to the heart of God. There's really no mystery about what Jesus means here. He is insisting that his followers live a life of love, even with unloving people, unloving circumstances. He is not asking us, let's be clear, to like unlikable people or share their views, nor is he asking us to tolerate abuse indefinitely, but he is asking us to tend to ourselves so that even in situations of enmity and hate and anger, we do not add to the harm. He wants us to live in ways that unreservedly and wholeheartedly honor the well-being of others, even our enemies. Someone I know once described this ethic of Jesus here as an electrical circuit. For those of you who are into working on electrical things, in situations of drama or rudeness or violence, Jesus wants us to be step down transformers rather than step up transformers. He wants our presence and our actions to lower the current rather than to increase it, so that we do not add through our words and our actions drama to drama, anger to anger, rudeness to rudeness, and violence to violence. For after all, if you return evil for evil, eventually all you're ever going to have is evil. The heart of God, Jesus wants us to see, is big enough, generous enough, forgiving enough, full of enough justice that we don't have to take on the burden of judging others or condemning others, defending our rightness. People who are in Jesus Christ live free from that burden of having to be right all the time. Instead, we can just live secure in our relationship with God. Well, so that's clear. Commandments are clear. Heart of God is clear. Sermon over. What's the problem? My sense is that the problem is the cost that comes to us of truly following this way of Jesus and living in this heart of God. For within all of us, there is a self that just doesn't want to live secure in our relationship with God. Within all of us, there is a self that wants to build itself up on its own terms by being right, by defending its pride, by reacting in the moment. The scriptures call this our sinful self. And more on this in a moment. It's the thing that dies with Christ and is risen to new life. But to live in this way of Jesus, this to live as a step-down transformer in the electrical circuit of the world, this old self has to cease. One cost, for example, of loving your enemies is that being loving turns out to be more important than being right. And I don't know about you, but I really like to be right. In fact, when certain people in my life say, "I'm sorry, you were right," my first impulse is to say, "Hang on, let me get my phone. I'd like to record this." It feels good to be right. To be good about right about COVID restrictions, to be right about human sexuality, to be right about whose turn it is to do the dishes, because gosh darn it, I've done it for the last 3 days and now it's your turn. It makes us feel like we've earned something, that we deserve something. As though we have figured something out, and so then we don't just have to be dependent on being a beloved child of God. When someone comes and challenges our position, when someone comes and challenges our pride in being right, well, that can burn. To live in the way of Jesus, to live from the heart of God, is not to step up the electrical current and the anger, not indulging the sinful self and its desire to lash out. In real life, not indulging the sinful self takes a lot of effort. It costs thought and time and thinking through your feelings and thinking through your thoughts. It requires practice and it demands prayer. Defending yourself madly, hitting back, lashing out, writing a long email, preparing a big speech. Sometimes we see those things as strong defenses. But the reality is, they're actually pretty cheap. and fragile. And Jesus doesn't want us to have a cheap sense of self. He doesn't want us to live from the fragility that comes from that sinful self that needs to be prideful and right. He wants us to have instead a new being with him, a new being within us, a self that recognizes that we're only human beings. And thanks be to God, we're only human beings. And the people around us, even our enemies, are only human beings. Some of you know that I am from Charlottesville, Virginia, and a few years ago there was the Unite the Right rally, a very violent day in the history of that community. On that day, out of that day, emerged a video from one side of the street protests of a neo-Nazi group that was facing off a group of counter-protesters. When one of the neo-Nazi men became increasingly belligerent, peppering the group of counter-protesters with a lot of racist epithets, a young woman who was trained in de-escalating street conflict stepped into the middle of the street. She was Black, very much the target of his abuse, but she spoke calmly and directly to the man who was harassing her, a man who was the very definition of an enemy, who wanted to be her enemy, who was hoping to transform her into an enemy, and she spoke to him with deep respect. "Why are you today? Why are you here today, sir? What brought you here? What are your concerns?" And that tone of respect caught her harasser completely off guard, as if all of a sudden he was stunned into the awareness that she was a human being, and he was a human being, and he wasn't acting like one. And maybe it was just the stun, maybe it was just that he was stunned, but he stepped back and the temperature went down. A step down transform her. I don't know what this woman's faith was, but I imagine that that's the kind of presence and functioning that Jesus wants for all of us. That we live so secure in our belonging to God that we don't have to be dragged down by others' abuse. So how do we get this new sense of self? How do we get this new being that welcomes Jesus' word to love our enemies and to do good even to those who hate us? Where do we get this power of God to forgive as God forgives and to trust mercy more than our own judgments? On our own, these commandments are too much. But Jesus is not only the one who gives us the commands, he's also the one who gives us that new sense of self. By his own death and resurrection. In our baptism, when we were marked with the sign of the cross, our old and sinful selves died with him. The selves that always need to be right, the selves that want to defend themselves at all cost, the selves that reject the very heart of God. These things die with baptism, and now we are raised. And so even when we want to smash an angry emoji on our statements, we are still marked with the sign of the cross, and from our old life, God raises up a new one, a new self that trusts mercy, a new self that forgives as we have been forgiven. Marked with the sign of the cross, we see the truth. We are beloved children of God, sinners in need of forgiveness, and that is true of ourselves, and it is also true of our enemies and those who hate us. They're like us, and we're like them. And from there, we just step the current down.